In 1922, a young Polish scientist, Joseph Tykociner, spoke to a meeting of the American Institute of Electrical Engineers in the lecture room of the physics building. On the table before him sat the results of 10 months' work at the university and less than $1,000 university dollars. Quite simply, he explained,
"Gentlemen, I've come to show you practical, working, talking motion pictures. With this equipment, I have, for the first time, recorded sound photographically beside the action image. And with this equipment, I shall reproduce that sound in perfect synchronization with the picture. Now, watch. The first is of my wife. You see her now on the screen. Now you hear her speak.
I hear the ring. Did you hear the bell ringing?
And now you will see and hear Professor Payne, seated before the microphone.
Hello. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How is it?"
The first sound movies were born, and the audience in the physics lab that afternoon were no less amazed than the world. However, the film industry poo-pooed Professor Tykociner's idea, and it was only as a last alternative to save a dying business that one company decided to try a full-length sound picture. By coincidence, the picture was based on a play by a University of Illinois graduate. The graduate, Samson Raphaelson. The picture, The Jazz Singer, starring Al Jolson. Of course, the picture was a success. In fact, it won an Academy Award. But more important, sound movies were a success. Since that time, Samson Raphaelson has become one of the country's outstanding playwrights. Klusman Parks, University of Illinois, class of 36, became Larry Parks, and added another link to the chain between the university and sound movies when he starred in Raphaelson's adaptation of the Jolson story. Joseph Tykociner, the inventor of sound movies, has a few reflections about the industry he helped launch.
It was early spring 1922, 29 years ago, when members of the Board of Trustees, led by the president of the university, Dr. Kinley, and vice president, Dr. White, visited my laboratory. I have shown photographic sound recording and photoelectric reproduction of sound in connection with motion picture equipment. On leaving the laboratory, Dr. Kinley, also Dr. Abbott, who I think was chairman of the Board of Trustees at that time, said they were impressed by what they saw and expressed wishes of further success in my work. It was encouraging indeed to hear that. At the time of my first experiments in 1897, and later too, I heard only discouraging remarks. In those very early stages, my attempts were regarded as fantastic. Sound, they said, cannot be photographed. Of no avail were my emphatic explanations that it was not sound proper I was trying to photograph, but light variations produced indirectly sound. My first public demonstration, which took place in June 1922 in the large lecture room of the physics building, convinced those who were present that movies with sound recorded photographically on the film simultaneously with pictures was an accomplished fact. However, I was encountered then with many opinions which expressed doubt whether the new art of sound pictures will ever be applied. Astonishingly enough, such doubts emanated from quarters one would least expect. Thus, the famous manufacturer of cameras and photographic materials thought sound pictures, no matter how perfect their quality, will never be introduced. When asked what was the basis of his adverse prediction, his answer was brief: the public doesn't want it. And this occurred at a time when the motion picture industry approached a crisis which could be easily interpreted by the fact that the public was tired of silent movies. Many of the visitors who came from the motion picture industry to see my work at the laboratory had grave doubts. Some of them were frightened by the high costs involved in such a revolutionary change in picture production. Others could not imagine how to find stars who could speak with proper voice and diction and act at the same time. There was even one was haunted by a grave psychological difficulty. One kind of illusion, he thought, is all the human mind could stand. An illusion of sound simultaneously with a visual illusion would be unbearable. such were the non-technical difficulties which accompanied the introduction of sound movies. It took 6 years since my first public demonstration before all prejudices and fears dissipated.